Well, the Tampa Bay Rays win again, this time against the defending World Series champion Houston Astros by a score of 8-3. Is that not good enough for everybody out there?
Apparently, they don't have Jordan Alvarez, so it's not really a good team yet, Kevin. So let's talk about that right now.
You are Locked On Rays. Your daily Tampa Bay Rays podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, my name is Kevin Weiss.
I'm Ulysses Zambrano.
And we are the host of the Locked On Rays podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us your very first to listen every day. Be sure to check out and subscribe to our YouTube channel at Locked On Rays. We're also on all the other podcasting platforms, social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Rays, and you can email us anytime, voice memo or otherwise, lockedonrays@gmail.com. Well, the Rays continue their undefeated streak at home, 14-0 now at the Trop to improve their season record to 20-3. I have some bad news, though, in addition to the naysayers that claim that the Rays haven't played anybody and still haven't played anybody, with Jordan Alvarez not in this series and Jose Altuve not in this series. But despite the Rays clubbing across eight runs, there was not a home run. So the amazing trek and streak that they had of 22 consecutive games with a dinger is now off the table, unfortunately. But maybe they can start a new streak starting tonight.
We'll take the W, I think. And I think the guys all there will take the W. Yeah, it sucks. It was a cool record, though. And they got the record, though. They broke it and they made it their own. So that's really awesome. But just like Wander Franco said at the end of the game, it just shows that they don't have to hit home runs in order to win. They have a dynamic offense that can do a lot of damage without putting the ball in the seats, which is fantastic because that means that it's not one-dimensional. That you can do a lot of other things and still score some runs. But I think, you know, yesterday I went a little with my Kevinism and I said they're going to have their chances with Jose Urquidy. Right after I said it inside, I didn't tell you, but I was like, oh man, why don't you put that bad juju out there?
Jinxed it.
But I totally got it. They had their chances with Jose Urquidy. But I think the biggest thing was how not only Taj kind of got a little bit better after that shaky first, but the offense just giving support to the young guy right back. I mean, to go back in that first inning and put some runs on the board, I think that's what made him kind of settle down and get to work.
Yeah, I think that's so important, is knowing and counting on your offense to have your back when you're not immaculate from inning one, inning two, inning three, whatever it may be. Whereas yesterday, could we have really said that or made that claim, where if an opposition got up 2-0 or 3-0 after the first or after the first couple innings, there were probably times where it was like, okay, let's back it up. There's not even a reason to be here because the Rays aren't going to score enough runs to win the game. But, you know, an opposing team, even a team with as much pedigree as the Astros, they get up early, doesn't matter. And it's kind of a good opportunity for the Rays to understand and experience adversity and difficulty and learning and figuring out how to get back and come back and win a ball game, because so much so far in this season where it's like not much, if anything, has gone wrong despite a couple injuries here and there. It's almost like the 2018 Red Sox, where like everything went perfect for them. It's sort of a similar byline for the Rays thus far. So in a way, I kind of appreciate it or understand that, hey, Taj Bradley got rocked a little bit early on. He had a check of reality where, hey, you mislocate a 96 fastball, somebody's going to hit it. If you leave a hanging cutter, somebody's going to hit it. But being able to settle down and get through five innings and six strikeouts and ultimately earn the win for himself, I think was a great confidence builder and a step for him going forward.
And you talk about adversity, man. You're talking Bregman, you're talking Tucker, Abreu, it's
and tough. Dubon, who's on an 18-game hitting streak, the backup second baseman replacing Jose Altuve gets the jump started with a leadoff triple. First pitch in the corner.
It's a wagon. So, he might not have the name pedigree, but he's doing fantastic right now. So, it definitely was facing adversity for Tosh. Again, young guy. And I know there are Rays fans who are more on the, I want to see the young guys. Don't give me, a veteran pitcher off the free agent heap, which is fine. I agree with that, too. I want to see Tosh more than anybody else that we can get from free agents or anything like that. However, just know that if you're with the young guys, they have to be put in situations like this, and you have to be okay with letting them grow, because if not, then they're never going to get better. So that was a perfect way of, hey, a young guy can have a bad first inning. It's how he comes back, and he came back. And again, the strikeouts are on a ridiculous pace right now for Tosh, which is awesome to see. We're going to see some drop off from Jeffrey Springs to Tosh, 100%. But if he keeps just, I think Neil Solans or Andy Fried said this after the game, if he keeps putting the team in a situation where they can still win the ball game, that's all you can ask for. I don't care if five innings and three runs is not a quality start. If you're giving your team a chance to win, then he is doing his job.
By the way, what is a quality start? I think I've misremembered that, to use a term from Roger Clemens. Is it 5 1/3, 5 2/3? Because, I mean, I might as well rewrite the definition of a quality start with today's era and so much bullpenning going on. I mean,
honestly,
5 and dive nowadays, that might as well be a quality start.
Honestly, yeah, I get your point. Quality start is 6 innings or more, 3 runs or less.
Okay. That's fair. Still, not too shabby for Tosh Bradley. Again, the key for him going forward, as Brian Anderson alluded to or mentioned on the broadcast, was keep that fastball up and keep the cutter down. Change the eye level with the hitters and make sure you're having, obviously, control and command of both those pitches.
Was that the Jeremy Pena at bat, I think, where he went really high fastball inside and then through the breaking ball? I think that was it. And it was just so nasty. It was like Roger Clemens type of stuff, like a veteran pitcher just like handling, playing with his food before eating it. It was so cool to see.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. By the way, just to run this out here with Tosh Bradley, he threw more cutters than four seamers, 37 cutters to 33 seamers, 33 four seamers and 11 curveballs. So looking forward to seeing what he can do going forward. I imagine, again, I'm putting it on the board, I think he'll get to and surpass 100 innings this season with the Rays. I mean, if pitchers keep going down like flies, then that might be the case, but he's definitely making a very, very strong impression early on for the good guys. We've got more to discuss from this game, but Ulysses, first we have to tell the audience about something very important.
Yes, we do. And just like we're getting to know this offense and this pitching staff and the rookies, we also have to get to know ourselves. And that can be a lifelong process, especially because we're always growing and changing. Well, therapy is about deepening your self-awareness and understanding, because sometimes we do not know what we feel, what we want, what we like, and we have to talk about it with somebody so we can get to know those things. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist who can take you on that journey of self-discovery wherever you are. So you can discover your potential with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/LockedOnMLB today to get 10% off your first month. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you gotta give BetterHelp a try. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/LockedOnMLB to get 10% off your first month.
I know we kind of glossed over this, but want to get your context on it, Ulysses. What's more impressive in your book? Is it the Rays going 22 straight games, hitting at least one homer, or starting off the season 14-0 at home?
14-0 at home.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's unreal. I think they're the first team since the Life Ball era to start their home record 14-0. That's so cool, man. Look, Tropicana Field, everybody can say whatever they want about Tropicana Field. Yes, it looks like a Costco. Fine.
And nobody shows up.
Yeah, whatever you want to say, whatever. You know, it's 72 degrees inside there. There's no love bugs. And us Floridians who know what the Florida heat is like, we know what the Florida thunderstorms are, we think it.
No sunburns at the Trop, although you see a lot of sunscreen laying around in the home and visiting dugout.
Yeah, I wonder why. But regardless, if, you know, with the catwalks and everybody, you have to make that so much of a house of horrors, even if it already is for visiting players, you have to even make it more so. And the fact that they're starting 14-0 just gives it that impending doom to the visiting team. Like, dude, these guys do not lose here. Like, literally, that is such a good thing for your reputation to be when people are coming into your town and to have that in their head. So I dig that. That record is one of the coolest things that this team is doing right now.
Yeah, and I know that I think Topkin puts it out as per usual, the attendance numbers. There were 10,600 fans at the game last night. One, it's a Monday during the school year. That's really, really difficult to pull. Monday and Tuesday is just brutal during the school year. I don't care who you talk to. And then you've got the Tampa Bay Lightning going. I mean, it's just, I can't, the Rays fans have really come out, I think, in full force for the most part this season. I don't have a lot of complaints as far as that's concerned. I hope it's not, you know, tonight's game isn't, you know, 6,000 or something like that with the Astros in town.
But am I wrong to think every time, or maybe my standards have lowered so much as a Rays fan, but anytime that you don't hit four digits, I think it's a victory, right? Once you clear the 10,000, I think that's good, especially on Monday through Thursday games. Like, I think that's a victory anytime you hit 10,000 and more. But am I wrong?
No, I think that's I think you have a point there. I think that's very fair for sure. So
I mean, we've been in stadiums in games in that stadium where there are 5,000 people, Kevin.
Yeah, against the Orioles. On the bright side, though, you can sit wherever you pretty much damn well please on those types of nights. So there's that going for you. So enough attendance talk. You don't have to make that the full episode.
No.
We should, however, mention not just Taj Bradley and the offense, but more into the offense. Wander Franco going 4-for-5, 4 hits. None of those a homer, but nobody else hit a home run either. And then Randy Arozarena, not too shabby either. Really, those two helped clean up the stinky smell of Brandon Lau and his 0-for-5 with 5 strikeouts. And that's kind of the modus operandi of this team. If 1, 2, 3 guys are struggling, be it the stars or otherwise, there's other guys to come through the chute and pick things up. Harold Ramirez, Christian Bethencourt. If we go back to it, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, it's not like Wander and Bilal had, I mean, outside of the, you know, the game-winning home run and whatnot, but over the course of that series, it was the Harold Ramirez show in the unheralded guys show as opposed to the big, big names and big, big stars.
That's why this offense is working so well. And that's why this team, this organization, it works so well because it's not relying on one dude. Yeah, would it be awesome to have a Trout / Judge / Otani? Of course it would be. It would make the winning way easier. But once one of those guys, you know, gets hurt or goes down or is in a rut, what are the other guys around in that lineup doing? There's a big drop off of production. That's not how the Rays operate. I mean, yes, you can make your argument that Yandy, Randy, and Bilal, and Wander are your all-star type of guys, but everybody else is still playing really well. There's not that much of a drop-off. I mean, what Harold Ramirez is doing, I mean,
9-game hit streak.
It's fantastic, man. And I don't think he gets enough love. I mean, anytime that Harold does something, I go to Twitter. I go to Twitter and put it out there because I feel like the fandom is just like, oh, yeah, that's cool. I still want him off, though. Oh, yeah, that's cool. But
it's like, when are we going to make room for Curtis Meade and Kyle Benzardo?
Yeah, can we just trade him already? Oh, God. That's nice, though. Yeah, it's all BABIP luck. Like, I don't care if it's BABIP luck. It's happening. It's working. Like, take it. I don't care. Like, the expected stats are all cool and dandy, but if the production keeps going, write it out. Right. I don't care about the sell high thing. Why sell high if the guy's working here so well? Like, I don't get it. So every time Harold does something well, I gotta go to Twitter. And besides, he's Colombian, so I feel like he doesn't get enough respect already because usually it's Dominicans and Venezuelans and Puerto Ricans that get more of the hype of being a Latino ball player. Colombians are, there's like five of them. So I like to help out the Colombian brethren in the baseball community as well.
Right. Yeah. And Harold Ramirez, again, hitting the ball down the line, two out hitting. That's another thing we saw with him and Josh Lowe, where it's just, hey, put wood to ball and move the guy over, move the next guy over and drum up some runs that way. And Randy, what I've been really impressed with him, not to kind of ping pong around a little bit, but his ability this season of staying back, adjusting to sliders and leveling his swing has really been immaculate. And of course his all fields approach that he's starting to pick up and move forward with. Brandon Lau, again, I just hope that this isn't the start of one of those Brandon Lau slumps where he looks like he has never played a game of baseball in his life and has never swung a bat, or it's been, 20 years since he swung a bat. I think that teams are just starting to realize, hey, off speed away, change ups away. We saw little glimpses of that as the season has worn on, but I think that teams are really going to, particularly the Astros in this series, they'd be stupid not to keep peppering him with what he's struggling with until he figures it out. And it might take 3 games, it might take 8 games, it might take 15 games to figure it out. But if you're the opposition, you try not to give him a fastball. To his credit, though, that did not stop him from making a outstanding play defensively, diving across his body, arm side, and making a stop behind the second base back. That was another theme in this game, just the glove work from Brandon Lau, from Wander Franco. I guess he doesn't even really need a glove. I mean, he's basically playing left field and shortstop, I guess, now. And then Christian Bethencourt veering into foul territory, making a play over the railing, which, again, makes me pause a little bit because you hope a guy like that doesn't get hurt. But that play by Christian Bethencourt as well helps out a pitching staff, helps out Taj Bradley so much, because I think, was it Bregman that was at, whoever it was an important player that was at bat for the Astros. So being able to get that out on a foul ball is a sigh of relief for sure. So, I mean, at least three star defensive plays that we saw from the Rays.
Anyhow you can get, I don't care. That lineup is unforgiving. So yeah, I mean, Wander Franco, what he did was circus style stuff. I mean, it was I mean, unreal. Brandon Lau again, yes, not a great day at the plate, and not great is putting it very polite. Hopefully that doesn't begin something. But you mentioned something about Randy Arozarena, which I liked. In the first inning, Wander takes off, steals second on a breaking pitch. Randy Arozarena obviously does not swing very good, but he does that thing. Have you noticed that sometimes Randy just stands with the bat in the shoulder and, like, you can tell 183% that he's not going to swing? He's just there for show. Mm-hmm. He does this at times. And I've been trying to think why he does this. I think it's kind of like an ego thing. Like, hey, take your strike. Come on, I'm not going to swing. Take your strike. It's like a mind game that he's playing with the pitcher. Sometimes they're going to hit a strike. Sometimes they're not. I feel like that's where he's coming from. And also, they have been trying to... He's a fastball hitter. We've always known this about Randy. I think he's doing this more often on the first pitch of the at-bat when he feels pretty confident that they're going with a breaking ball, just like they did yesterday with Urquidy and him. So something to watch out for, fans, when Randy Rosarena goes to bat and he's doing the whole, like, you're like, he's definitely not going to swing. What is that pitch? Is it a breaking ball? Is it a fastball? Was it inside the zone or was it outside the zone? Something to keep your eye on.
No, that's a good observation and analysis and something to watch going forward. It definitely does seem like he's matured and grown and developed and is taking those scouting reports to heart and actually utilizing those in his gameplay. And I think we can say that for a lot of this just seems like a more mature with it group, and they know what they're doing, clearly, as the team is 20-3 right now. All right, we have more to discuss, but first we have to tell you about our new sponsor, So Rare. So Rare is a revolutionary fantasy baseball game and marketplace, transforming fans into owners with officially licensed digital cards featuring players from across all 30 MLB teams, including the Rays. They did not forget the Rays with So Rare. Unlike other fantasy baseball platforms, So Rare managers truly own their fantasy experience, collecting, buying, selling, and competing with player cards against global opponents to win epic rewards. Win or lose, you still own your cards, and there's no cost to play. Plus, the more you win, the more you advance, collecting increasingly powerful cards and accessing next-level competitions and rewards. So, head over to SoRare.com/LockedOn. That's spelled So Rare, SoRare.com, to draft your team of free player cards, set your lineup, and start competing today to win epic rewards. Again, that is SoRare.com/LockedOn to start playing today. All right, the Tampa Bay Rays will try to win the series tonight. Best of three, with Drew Rasmussen facing off against Luis Garcia. Ulysses, what are you looking for out of tonight's matchup?
Well, Garcia, who I was rooting for in March with the Venezuelan baseball team, has not had a great start to the season. The White Sox hit him around. The Minnesota Twins hit him around. The Texas Rangers did their thing against him. And then, because baseball, he faces the Toronto Blue Jays, scoreless, seven innings.
Yeah.
So, those are the things, you know. I don't know what to expect from Luis Garcia.
I have a quick aside. Yeah. I have a theory as to why he has struggled out the gate.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I know where you're going from, but I'll let you have it. What is
it? Well, because of the rules changes, he had to alter and change his windup in that rocking motion, because I guess with the new rules, that would be deemed a balk and or probably some pitch clock violation issue. So he had to revamp that to some extent, which I actually kind of enjoyed. That's one thing maybe about the rules changes that I'm not so high on, is you like seeing how pitchers deke and do their different variations and their idiosyncrasies and unique deliveries. And Garcia certainly had a very, very unique delivery with the rock the baby motion. But from what I understand, he has had to taper that down quite a bit or eliminate it entirely. And I would imagine there's some adjusting involved for a guy that I would imagine has been doing that for years and years and maybe his entire career whenever he developed that. I mean, every time I've watched Luis Garcia, he utilized that windup. So having to change that full stop over the course of an offseason tells me that you're going to go through some growing pains with that.
Yeah. And so maybe that's it. It's kind of like, okay, what was the big change? Oh, that was it. And I've seen some hate over the rocking the baby motion. I don't get it. Like, that's awesome. That's what we like about baseball.
Anything that's different, anything that's unique about a particular player, you don't just want everybody to be a stoic, statuesque, boring person. Like, you want people doing different things, you know, whether I think it's kind of cool, just something to highlight and focus on. And even if it's MLB making a meme out of or a GIF out of, it's content and something to bring some interest to the game. I don't see how that hurts whatsoever.
I don't either, man. I we agree, because like I think, you know, people are like, oh, it's so silly.
Having some technical issues. Can you hear me still?
Yeah, I can.
Oh man, I think Rob Manfred was interrupting us there.
Yeah, hopefully
we're still good.
No, we're still good. So yeah, I mean, I don't get it, you know. And I've seen some Rays fans, oh, that's stupid. They're rocking the baby motion. Like, nah, that's what makes baseball awesome. The fact that Jose Altuve, who's 5'5", can play the game and be an MVP guy. Aaron Judge is next to him at 6'7" and is an MVP. Like,
yeah,
that well, is let me, cool let me about baseball.
This. Let me flip this and say, if Luis Garcia was on the Rays, every Rays fan would be like, that's the coolest thing ever. They'd be coming up with some hashtag. They would be going bonkers over it. It'd be, you know, they would just glob it all up. But because he's in a different uniform, they hate it. To me, that's very hypocritical and nonsensical and phony baloney.
It's very tribal. It's very, my team. So
which
whatever.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's you know, that's, I don't know. Maybe I just don't care enough about anything to, maybe I'm too much of a nihilist to have that point of view. But
this is,
something is cool. I think it's cool whether they're wearing a Astros uniform or a Rays uniform. And I'll call out something that the Rays do or Rays player does that's stupid.
Yeah. You know, this, if we don't care about anything, this, you've now entered the nihilist portion of Locked On Rays. So yeah. Good for you for finding us like that. No, look, Drew Rasmussen, I can tell you what I don't know what to expect from Luis Garcia, but I can tell you what I'm expecting from Drew Rasmussen. I'm expecting better than a quality start. I'll put it that way just to not jinx this stuff. I feel like he is just such a dog out there, and he takes these starts as like a personal affront, honestly. Like he wants them, whoever's in front of him, he wants to just humiliate them. That's the body language that he's out there with. So I'm really excited about seeing him with this very powerful lineup and what he can do. Hopefully that sweeper, the cutter, and the fastball are working well for him. I'm expecting good things from him. And not to put it out there, but he is the last really good starter in this series for the Rays, because we don't know who's starting on Wednesday, do we?
Last I checked, it was TBD.
Yeah, same here. TBD when I checked. So I'm gonna need to have those TPS reports on my desk, and I'm gonna need that 15-0 record just to win the series with Drew on the mound, have the Astros take the L, and extend that home streak, because you don't know what's going to happen on Wednesday.
Right. Drew quietly just having an outstanding season with a 2.01 ERA, 0.94 WHIP, 26 strikeouts. Ooh. In 22 in a third. Does he get to
WHIP? Oh, this is disgusting. Yeah. I love that WHIP.
Yeah. Does he get to 7 innings tonight?
Because tomorrow is, oh, that's a tough one, because tomorrow is a bullpen day. You would want to get some length out of him. However, it's very difficult to get length when you're facing the Houston Astros, because they will make you work.
Right.
They will foul pitches off and stay alive. So hopefully, I'm going to say 6 1/3.
Okay, that's fair. Look, this isn't the Nationals where you can get through 6 innings and 65 pitches.
Exactly.
This isn't the Athletics where you can get through 7 innings and 83 pitches. This is a different test, different ball game, even without Jose Altuve and Yordan Alvarez, respectively. So we'll be interesting to see how he fares going forward with that. All right. Thank you for making the Locked On Rays podcast your very first listen every day. Continue to listen to us. We want you to be an everydayer. We want you to listen to the pod, whether it's on a traditional podcasting platform or on YouTube, every single day. That's why we try to push out, pump out as much content as we can for you. So stay tuned. We got more coming up. Hope you all have a wonderful day. Stay safe. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.